This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
The baby boomer phenomena is not just occurring in people. Our pets are living longer due to advances in medicine and improved home care. But is living enough? Do our pets, especially senior pets, need to be mentally stimulated, experience enrichment in order to truly have the best quality of life, to thrive and not just survive? And what is enrichment? You buy them toys, but they just don't want to play with them. You invest in a fancy-dancy pet monitor that tosses treats at them, and they just seem bored and fat. Are they just old? Is there anything you can do to bring back that spark of youth, to keep them engaged? Dr. Julie Albright is one of 65 board-certified veterinary behaviorists in the United States and an assistant professor of veterinary behavior and pet-safe chair of small animal behavioral research at the University of Tennessee's College of Veterinary Medicine. We'll be right back after this short break to discuss enrichment in pets.
Listeners, I'd love to introduce you to PetPlate.com. They deliver freshly cooked human-grade dog food right to your door. I'm talking about dog food that is so high quality that even us humans could technically eat it. I've been feeding Pet Plate to my pup for the last 2 weeks, and it's perfect for my picky pup and perfect for me since I'm so busy. So if you want something super healthy, really tasty, and ready to serve, go to petplate.com/spot to get 30% off your first box. Once again, that's petplate.com/spot to get 30% off your first box. PETPLATE.com.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Albright, thank you so much for being with us today. This is a topic that I find extremely timely because I feel somewhat guilty myself. I have cats. I work a lot. I'm not always there with them. I've had senior pets, and I just want to keep their little minds sharp. So thank you for being with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for allowing me to come talk about something that I feel is a really important topic.
Especially with seniors, I think that a lot of us think that, oh yeah, they're just old, that aging and dementia somewhat seem to go hand in hand. I was reading that the human brain starts to lose some of its sharpness starting at 40. It's like, oh my goodness. And with each decade, we lose about 5% more. It's like, oh, so it's not really just my fault. But does that happen in pets too?
It does. So we know from pretty controlled research projects that dogs start losing their ability, or they start kind of falling behind the younger dogs, starting about age 6 on all those cognitive tests. So that tells us as the pet owner, we should start trying to provide some of these sort of environmental enrichment and mental stimulation. I mean, really throughout the animals' lives, but there's some really exciting research going on, not so much in the dog and cat world, but I think we can learn a lot from both the rodent studies and the human studies about how much environmental enrichment and exercise. I mean, you can almost look at them like medications these days. They are changing the structure of our brain to help improve our memory and our kind of cognitive sharpness. And I think it's not, there's some studies to show that, early studies, but in dogs and cats too, that that's really important.
You're talking about, you know, age 6. It's like, oh my goodness. I typically tell clients that, you know, about 7 is when they're starting entering their senior years and we should do blood work and we should, you know, really start to pay attention. But wow, 6. For a lot of us, you know, when you get your pet at age 6, it's just seeming to get their stride. And now you're saying that, oh, that's kind of like that 40-year-old person. We're starting to lose it. What are some of the signs of a pet that might be losing it?
Well, we asked people to look at something we call DISHA. That stands for D, disorientation, I, interaction change, so social interaction changes, S, for sleep-wake cycle, H, for house soiling issues, if they start to kind of lose their house training, A, for anxiety, and A also, so two A's, and one for activity level. So if you're seeing any changes in those, that can let us know that there may be something going on. But also keep in mind, I'm both a veterinarian and a behaviorist, and the veterinarian in me, we have seen all sorts of changes you just wouldn't think would cause the same issues. Everything from dental disease, my own little dog, I sort of hesitated in getting a pretty extensive mouth extraction in him. And I had been treating him for canine cognitive disorder, which is a very similar pathophysiology to human Alzheimer's disease. So I had started to treat him with some of the supplements we have, some diet changes, you know, really starting to look at this enrichment stuff. And I'll tell you, I got those teeth pulled and he was very much, you know, looked like 10 years had been taken off of him. So joint pain, any sort of endocrine disease, make sure you are getting a full health workup with your veterinarian to make sure that those aren't complicating the picture, but also to make sure your dog is healthy enough to do some of these things that we're talking about. So yeah, those are the signs to look for. But oftentimes, and I mentioned the six-year-old and those lab dogs, they were doing pretty, you know, sort of detailed cognitive testing in those dogs. I don't think the average dog or cat owner is going to see a lot of difference unless you're doing maybe high-level agility or obedience training or something like that. But it's just good to keep in mind that we are starting to drop off, you know, about that time. And it might be time to start looking at some of these therapies. We don't have a ton of studies to show that they're preventative, but I think that there's no side effects to most of these supplements and the cognitive enrichment types of things. So it's just a good time to start thinking about that. And honestly, it's a lot of the same stuff that you would do with a puppy. So it shouldn't be too new and novel for the average pet owner.
I think sometimes we just get a little bit lazy. And I love the fact that you brought up, here you are a veterinarian, you have your own older pet that, yes, you're recognizing these signs of cognitive dysfunction, getting older to somewhat sounds like losing it a bit. And that, oh my goodness, you know, you have a dog with a mouth that needs to have an extensive amount of dental care. Number one, I know when I see clients and I tell them that, it's like, oh no, we can't do it because it's 13 years old. And it's like, well, if you want it to be 14 years old, it might not be a bad idea to consider it. You know, I've had pets that have died under anesthesia. Yes, that's always a concern. And there are things that we can do to safeguard. And it sounds like you too, once you get those bad teeth taken care of, once you get the arthritis addressed, it's like, oh my goodness, Doc, this dog feels so much better. This cat just has a new lease on life. It's like, yes, thank you. I'm so glad. So not always.
Don't stop there. You know, now your dog's feeling good, your cat's feeling good. Let's make sure we capitalize on that. You would never hear a gerontologist tell a senior patient, that's a human, well, now that you got that knee replaced, go sit on your Barca lounger for the next 15 years. No, we take the opportunity to then say, let's get them out and moving. And that's the same thing for our cats and dogs.
So Dr. Albright, okay, you're getting older, but why? Simplistically, what goes on in our brains that we undergo this dementia, this losing our sharpness?
Well, I think it's important to note in people and in animals, dementia is a very kind of general term. It just means kind of a loss of cognitive function. But there are specific reasons for that. Sometimes we never quite know. It could just be little vascular events, you know, kind of mini strokes. It could be a big stroke, a big infarct in the brain. But it could be something like Alzheimer's. That is the beta amyloid plaque buildup in the brain is the hallmark of that. And that's one of those diseases that, as I think everybody, all your listeners are probably aware, is a serious public health crisis in this country as we age. And we don't really know what causes it yet. And so therefore, we don't really know what causes it in cats and dogs either. But it is very interesting. A lot of the same brain changes occur. But also as we age, just our cells just sort of break down. And one of the things that happens is we have these little kind of energy units in our cells called the mitochondria. And that's what makes energy for the most part to kind of fuel ourselves and our bodies. So those become less efficient as we age. And therefore, I think of it like an old furnace, that the more it needs more and more kind of input to provide the same amount of energy, and it has more waste products for that same unit of energy. And in the body, that comes in the form of free radicals, or in, I think most of us have heard that term, free radical damage. And that's what antioxidants and free radical scavengers do. Those are vitamins A, C, and E, and there's some other compounds that we can find, both endogenous that our body makes, but also we can take, like fish oil, like I said, the vitamin A, C, and E, ginkgo biloba. Those have been shown to be sort of a mild therapy for that. But we do not have anything at this time in either cats or dogs that has been shown to reverse the sort of what's going on, like those beta amyloid plaques. It just, we have things that make the animals feel better. And that's sort of to plug back into the enrichment. That's the exciting stuff that's coming out with in people and in our rodents, that it's been shown to be very effective in making the patients feel better and perhaps have a protective effect. If we can start this exercise and the enrichment early enough, the brain games, I think a lot of people have heard of those. I've actually heard them, you know, sort of advertised, and I can't speak to those that I've heard on my morning news shows, but definitely it's some really exciting stuff on a molecular level happening when we teach our brain to learn new tasks.
Well, you and I can do Sudoku, try to keep our brain sharp, right, and do the brain games. And I have to admit, especially when I travel, I have it on my iPad and I'll sit there and I'll play these games. And some of them is like, gee, I'm so glad nobody can see this because I'm not doing really well. But you keep mentioning, we've mentioned this whole thing about enrichment. Please define for the listeners, Dr. Albright, what is enrichment?
Sure. In its most general sense, it's just sort of adding novelty and complexity to the environment. But those of us that work in an applied setting with cats and dogs and companion animals, we're really sort of looking for species-specific behaviors and doing things to activate not only aerobic exercise, but also kind of stimulate all five senses. I guess you could say there's more than that in cats and dogs. But that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something for them to, for cats and dogs, they're both predators to some extent. So we're looking for things to kind of activate that hunt and that seek, especially in cats, the hunting and seeking. For dogs and cats too, treat dispensing toys, so, or puzzle toys, things that you put their food in and they've somehow got to manipulate it. They've got to figure out how to move this object around to release the food. And again, be a little careful of that in older pets. Especially if they don't have a fantastic appetite. Don't want to do anything to dissuade them from or discourage them from eating if that's an issue. But let's face it, most of our older patients have an obesity problem. All of us vets, almost every patient we see, we could recommend a few pounds coming off, but not all of them. So for the most part, slowing down that feeding, making them think about it, that's a great way. Another great way, cats and dogs, not just dogs, are getting some, you know, getting a trick book from a used book site or a new one and looking at those tricks that you can teach your dog just for fun. That's a great way to provide some enrichment just because they don't actively seek out play. To me, that means that's even more of a reason to kind of get them up and going and motivate them. And of course, you want that to be only reward-based. We're not using prong collars and chains to teach these tricks. It's not about, you know, accuracy. It's about having fun. And I should say, not that reward-based training doesn't produce a lot of accuracy, but I've seen some of my clients get pretty frustrated. You know, the dog, I just can't get him to do this. And we have to slow down and say, whoa, that's not the point here. It's active learning, the process of learning that's giving the benefit. Not that I could care less how accurate they are about their rollover or jump through the hoop. So again, make sure your animal's healthy enough for that. But that's a great way to provide mental stimulation as well. There's all sorts of scent games that you can play. Canine nose work is a new kind of phenomenon, new kid on the block in the last decade or so. And that's sort of a pet version of search and rescue. So if your dog isn't the most physically active, that's a great way to go out and kind of hide some food or some treats and a bunch of boxes in the house. They have him go out and sniff those, all of that. It doesn't have to be physically demanding, especially for our older patients.
Sounds marvelous to do. And then I can see a lot of listeners right now going, look, I'm working umpteen hours to bring home that really good quality dog food, and I have the family to take care of. I have, you know, all these other time commitments myself. And to now put this time into trying to train my dog for something where, boy, that's time intensive. So I think it really gets down to a person has to have a change of mindset of what's going to be necessary. When you get that pet, you get a pet for life.
Absolutely. I do try to, you know, we do have that talk about this is, you know, what do you want for your dog? Or your cat, do you want the best for them? So we do have kind of that pep talk. I'm not trying to, you know, judge folks, but we are trying to kind of motivate you. But also, I get it. I'm a busy working mom. I am so sick of, you know, all the self-improvement stuff that you're kind of bombarded with that come the new year. So I absolutely understand it. So what we try to do in our home is make things bite-sized. We do not need to have, nor should you kind of overwhelm your older pet or any pet with learning some, you know, crazy sequence of events or crazy sequence of a behavior in an evening. Let's break it down. If you're at the computer or you're watching a show, you know, kind of mute the TV for 2 minutes, get out the treats, work on something with that pet for those 2 minutes. Take turns. Maybe mom gets it once the night, daughter gets it once, and the next night, you know, another adult and another child is going to work on it. We kind of work it into the chore chart. It's just like, you know, I can find 2 minutes a day to brush my teeth several times a day. I can find that time. And actually, that's usually when that's sort of my evening routine is when we work things in for our pets. So it's just kind of what makes sense for the family. But there is that bottom line, just like most self-improvement stuff, you got to make a commitment to do it. But find those little bite-sized pieces of time to do this stuff and look for the things that you can do that don't involve you at all, like those puzzle toys.
That sounds like a sneaky way of doing this, because especially after the first year when you say, okay, I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to do it 6 days a week. All right, let's try for maybe twice a week and little by little increase it. Same thing with working with your pets. I love it. We're chatting right now with Dr. Julie Albright. Again, she's one of 65, only 65, board certified veterinary behaviorists in the United States. And she's also at the University of Tennessee College of Veterinary Medicine. We're going to be right back after this short break to talk about more things that you can do to keep your pet enriched and thriving.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
I love cleaning the litter box, said no one ever. Luckily, there's World's Best Cat Litter, the litter that promises less mess with less litter. Only World's Best Cat Litter uses the concentrated power of corn to quickly trap odors in tight clumps. And quick clumping means you never have to chisel or scrape the box. Less cleanup with less wasted litter? That's a litter bit amazing. Save $2 on World's Best Cat Litter. Visit www.saveonworldsbest.com.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Pick up 2 bottles of LicoChops. Get the 3rd bottle free.
New improved LicoChops with omega-3, omega-6, vitamin E.
And now, 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try LicoChops. Buy 2, get 1 free.
At Dynavite.com.
DINOVITE.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Albright, right before the break, we were talking about dogs and things that you could do with them. Okay, with dogs, it almost seems to be a little bit easier where you can do these behaviors of getting to do tricks. And you're talking about rolling over and you can pop a harness on them and take them outside and go for, it may not be the walk, it may be the sniff, but it's their time to explore. explore and learn about their environment. What do you do for cats?
Cats, I'm so glad you asked, because I think that's a real epidemic that we, and I totally am guilty of this as well, that my cats can kind of, if you don't make that effort, just become pieces of furniture in the home. So they definitely need a little bit more effort put into their enrichment and their exercise. Again, especially as they age, they're just not motivated internally to play as much. So it's up to us as the cat owners just to put those few minutes every day into it. So cats can absolutely learn tricks. There's some great little trick books out there. Clicker training is a great way to teach a cat something. So again, the process of learning something and engaging with a human is a great form of mental stimulation and enrichment for them. The food puzzle toys. Simple things like, depending on how many cats and other animals you have in the home, you know, just putting their kibble, if they're on dry food, in different places in the house. I love the idea of, we actually have a harness-trained cat. It was not very difficult to do. He gets a little bit of outdoor time every day. If your cat, if that's not doable, you know, a window seat, there's cat fencing, or what, you know, we call kind of catios. These, they look like maybe bird aviaries that are not very big as far as a footprint, but they're very tall because cats like vertical space, and that kind of encourages them to climb. But just to get them out there, these catios, get them out there to have some just a exposure to smells and sights outside. And then the second best would be maybe at a window seat, and you can do things like maybe plant a butterfly garden. There's some great websites that tell you what plants you can grow in your area that attract butterflies, and you could do something like put those right outside the window where your cat likes to hang out, just to provide a little bit of that visual stimulation. Also, one thing we haven't talked about, we talked about a little bit for the dogs, which was just the walks to allow them to smell, but providing different things for smells. It might be just as simple as some essential oils on something that won't become a foreign body for your cat, just to let them smell that. And both, and it's not particularly important what that smell is, but just smells, toys.
Something different.
Exactly. Novelty is so important to these animals. Everybody tells me, well, my animal has this huge basket of toys. And I'm like, well, my kids have a huge room of toys, but every time we go to the toy store, they want a new one. So pick them up, provide a couple at a time, pick those back up later that afternoon, a couple hours later, and provide some new ones.
If you have friends with cats or dogs, you can do this lend-lease type of a program with them, because I go out and I will buy a toy. This is a great toy. And I bring it home and I give it to my cats. And it's like, yes, are you playing with this? Because we're not playing with it. But then I take it to the office and I give it to one of my nurses there, and they take it home to their cats. Oh, it just loved it. Going, great. I'm glad your cat did. At least mine didn't. I love your idea of the food puzzle, because I have a young cat and she's just crazy. So I bought a dog food puzzle. There's no way this cat's going to figure it out. And in about 2 nanoseconds, she has her little treats in there, and she gets her treats out. She has a treat ball that she has to push around to get out. And they're indoor kitties with bird feeders outside, hummingbird feeders. So it's like, okay, I'm doing some of the things right. This is good.
Absolutely. So just like with us, though, we got to have a combination of a little bit of physical and the mental. You know, you go for your run, and then maybe you read a good book, or you have dinner with friends. And so the social aspect of it, we haven't mentioned yet, that can be a fantastic form of enrichment if it goes well. You know, bad social interactions are just a horrible source of stress and can cause all sorts of behavior problems, like not just aggression, but, you know, spraying in cats and aggression to us as a sort of a redirected type of thing. They can cause physical ailments. So be careful about those social interactions. But once you get a good pair or group together, and of course, social could be human-animal or animal-animal, but once you find a good pairing, that can also be a great source. But getting that physical and the mental, we want to hit both of those kind of boxes. We want to check both of those off.
Are there activities, you're mentioning that some enrichment activities could be detrimental? So are there some common activities that people do with their dogs or cats that they think that they're enriching that really are harmful?
Well, I mentioned the way you get there, the way, the process, the types of methods you use are important. So even though you might have used sort of mild aversives like pond collars or shock collars to train certain cues, that's really something you need to put aside for these senior pets. It is not accuracy we're looking for in, you know, obedience. And again, I should say, not that you can't get great accuracy and obedience with reward-based training, but lighten up. I guess that's the point I'm going for here. This should be fun and not very stressful. And then another thing I see that I wouldn't say is detrimental, but I think people are not aware that it's not doing what they think. And that's just sticking the animal in the backyard, especially dogs. That they, you know, the dog goes out and it maybe wanders the yard for a couple of minutes, then it goes and sits on your back porch. That is not a good form of mental stimulation. Young dogs, maybe they're, again, more kind of internally motivated to run around and play by themselves or with another dog. But for the most part, our middle-aged and senior dogs, you really need to get them out with the, it doesn't mean you can't walk around the backyard with them, but make sure they are getting that physical activity, that they are moving more than just a minute or two, and that you are, you know, just lying on the back porch is not mental stimulation. It's actually smelling the different things on the walk and seeing the different things. And if you can't, if the dog is not mobile enough, you can do things like strollers, even just a car ride. That could be something you can do just to let them see and smell some of the things outside.
So strollers are an okay idea, because I know when I had a older little dog towards the end, when she just wasn't walking too quickly, it's like, okay, I know this is for her. This is for Juanita. This is not for me. And if I want to walk, this is going to be a different time. So we would go for a sniff, not a walk. And then afterwards, I had one of those little umbrella strollers. So I would open it up, I'd plunk her in there, I'd strap her in, and then I'd get the rest of my walk. So strollers, like the baby strollers, are okay for dogs and cats too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Silly. I mean, make sure they're safe. So they're, I think probably most people are aware that there are dog strollers, dog and cat strollers that are, you know, a little bit more flat and have a cover on them so they're not prone to jump out and hurt themselves. But yeah, I mean, we want to get that physical activity, but definitely check with your veterinarian, make sure that just because they don't want to walk, maybe it's kind of like physical therapy that, you know, when I hurt myself, I didn't necessarily want to move it around, but the physical therapist knew exactly how far I should push it to improve. It's a water treadmill. I know here at UT, we have water treadmills we use for physical therapy, but they're also great for senior pet just to keep that mobility going. So making sure that you're doing as much as you can on the physical side, but absolutely, if you and your vet have decided that, you know, it's just not, it's going to be kind of limited, there's no reason for that animal to have to sit in the house, get them out in the world. And I think those strollers are a great, great way to do that. Depending on the little animal or the animal, they actually make pretty big dog strollers these days. But depending on that animal's sort of behavior and emotional state, if it's the kind of dog that barks and lunges at everything in its younger days and we didn't get on top of that, that animal may not be the best candidate to go out on a busy city street, find someplace quiet. Where they can get maybe a sniff of some wildlife and things like that and not be barking at everything that went by.
I know I've seen those regular enclosed strollers for dogs and cats. And then I've had some of my clients with larger dogs that have used the joggers. So they've just kind of reconfigured them a bit so that larger dog can lounge in there and then just really secure them in so they can't fall out, jump out, etc. I think, again, this is a great thing, you know, to go online, see if you can find a used one, because it never seems to fail. You buy a new one and your pet looks at it going, not so much. This is not something I'm enjoying.
Agreed. Yeah. Just be prepared that we're giving lots of ideas. And the reason there are lots of them is because there's no one thing that every pet is going to like. Like you said, you bought something just knowing that your cat was going to like it. And what do you know, that cat did not, but the neighbor's cat or the friend's cat did. So exactly. Just be prepared. If your pet doesn't seem to like it, don't push it. We don't want to stress them out. That's probably going to undo all this enrichment that we've been talking about.
Dr.
The benefits
Albright,
of it.
At what age should we start this enrichment? Now, we're talking about older, and we're saying at 6, he's starting to become less sharp for a pet. But do you start them, wait until 5, 6? Do you start them as babies? When do you start?
I think the answer is yesterday. Every life stage can benefit from enrichment, be it for the puppies to keep them out of trouble, to get that mind working. You know, the herding breeds and the bully breeds are so popular these days, and they are very active dogs. So I think some of it's to save the owner's sanity as well at those younger and middle-aged years. But again, I think there's not a whole lot of hard data on it, but I think once we can get the results from some of these longer-term studies that I believe are going on, that we'll find that this might be preventative on some level, probably depending on the genes, all of that. But so the good news is there's really no side effects to enrichment, right? Especially if you've talked to your vet and you make sure the animal's healthy for it and you're doing everything in a non-stressful way for the pet, then there's really no reason not to do this with any aged dog.
I think that...
Or cat, you know, I should say. Let's not forget our kitty friends.
Yeah, dog or cat is very important. It's been fascinating to watch my own younger cat work through problems. And some of the things that I've gotten for her, just a cardboard box, that crinkle paper that you use for the holidays in particular for packing and for stuffing, and then hiding toys underneath that. And she'll just spend hours going through this box of paper, and it gets all over the house. But okay, well, whatever. That's why they have vacuum cleaners. But it's just fun to watch a pet's brain work. And even older ones, it doesn't work as quickly, but they're still seeming to enjoy this stimulation. As we've been talking, you've been mentioning enrichment, diets, and exercise. Of those, which one's the most important to try to slow down this aging process and keep them as sharp as possible?
Well, I don't think we have a lot of head-to-head comparisons. So the good news is the nutraceuticals that are out there, so those are some of these supplements for the aging brain, those have been tested out in a lab in Canada called CanCog, double-blinded, placebo-controlled studies. So we know that almost, you know, a lot of them that are on the market are effective to some extent. Those dogs did seem to have improved cognitive functioning and improved social interactions. So, and most of them, like I mentioned before, they're vitamins and fish oil. So when dosed within reason, dosed with what the package tells you, SAMe is another one, that there's really no known side effects to most of those. The exercise, that's just really kind of fascinating stuff coming out that both on the, you know, it provides more perfusion to our brain, allows more nutrients and glucose to get to our brain, but it's also doing things like helping our neurons grow in the areas where they're still able to, like the hippocampus. That's the part of our brain that seems to be most responsible for learning and memory. So sort of protecting our neurons from that normal loss as well. So really lots of fascinating stuff going on out there in the research world. So I really do think that, you know, just everybody should make that effort to get some sort of physical activity. It could be a walk outside, but there's probably other stuff that we could do in with our animals inside as well to kind of get that heart rate up just a little bit. And then the diets as well kind of go with the nutraceuticals. So again, if I was going to pick one, I would say, well, you know, the exercise is so beneficial for most organ systems, including our mood and cognitive decline. So it's also the cheapest one, probably.
Get out there, put on your shoes and walk and take your pet with you, or have it run up and down the stairs chasing a laser pointer.
And that I feather know toy.
It's so easy just to come home from work and sit your bum on the Barca lounger and put your toes up and go, that's it. But yeah, get out there that one day and just move a little bit more and then make it 2 days and do it with your pet. It's a great way to have that human-animal bond just to really help strengthen it.
Yep, or 5 to 10 minutes, you know, once a day. You could kind of flip that around. That seems to work better for me anyway, instead of like one day a week for long periods of time. I'm just going to fit in 2 to 5 minutes every day. And I'm going to fit in another 2 to 5 minute session every day. Yeah, so just try different things, see what works, both for the benefit of you and your dog and cat.
Awesome. Dr. Julie Albright is the behaviorist at the University of Tennessee's College of Veterinary Medicine, the Pet Safe Chair of Small Animal Behavioral Research, and one of 65 board-certified veterinary behaviorists. Dr. Albright, this has really been fantastic. As soon as we stop this conversation, I think I'm going to go get that feathers toy and start playing with my cat.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Please tune again next week. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz with the Pet Doctor, so we can learn more about ways to keep your pet the healthiest possible and thrive. If you do have any questions, things that you want me to address, please send us a note to the Pet Doctor at PetLifeRadio.com, and I'll be sure to address it on air. Have a great week. Take care. Chat with you next week.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.